This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
Earlier this summer, we did something we'd never done before. We recorded this program in front of a live audience during our Turkey tour. Today, another first, a sad one, memorializing one of the founding members of this broadcast. I'm talking about my longtime co-host, Professor Keith Scoville, who taught biblical archaeology at the University of Wisconsin and authored the textbook, Biblical Archaeology in Focus. Professor Scoville had an amazing life, and when he passed away on June 30th, he had lived 98 years. Professor Scoville was co-host from the beginning of this program in 1983 up until about a dozen years ago. In 2008, Professor Scoville was invited to share his spiritual journey at a Christian businessman's luncheon. I had the opportunity to introduce him, having introduced him hundreds of times on this program, and I also recorded his talk. You may wonder, how does someone become an archaeologist? In his case, it seemed an unconventional route, but I'll let you judge for yourself.
And so let me begin by saying that I was born into a family of simple, hardworking folk in southwestern Wisconsin in the Kickapoo Valley in 1928. Just before the Great Depression struck, my parents and older brother and I moved from the village of Soldiers Grove into a three-room house on my grandparents' farm on what is called Trout Creek when I was 2 years old, and there I spent my youth. Let me go back and say it was a three-room house, not a three-bedroom house. Outdoor toilet. When our family filled up, there were six of us living in that three-room house. We walked to school about a mile and a half up the road. And so that's the way I began. The family was loosely connected with the Soldiers Grove Church of Christ. And with the influence of my grandmother and parents, I learned about Jesus and God's Word, attended church and Sunday school occasionally, went to vacation Bible school and that sort of thing. When I was 13, my older brother and I walked down the aisle on the preacher's invitation and accepted the Lord. In churches of Christ and Christian churches, infants are not expected or required to be baptized or sprinkled. In those churches, to follow Christ, one makes a decision to do so. So we made the good confession and were baptized in nearby Baker's Creek that day. I believed. I trusted Jesus. But I was young and naive. And I'll bet what I'm going to tell you could be said of a number of you as well. That I did not follow the discipleship route as I should have. And so my feet well nigh slipped. And so I'm sorry to say that I was not the kind of person that I should have been in those subsequent years in high school and a year or two after that. In those teen years, I may have quenched the Holy Spirit, but the Lord did not abandon me, for he has said, I will never leave nor forsake you. I went through high school, graduated in 1945. There were 13 in my high school graduating class. About 100 students in the school. The reason for that was, of course, World War II was on. So by God's grace, I was just too young to end up in the Army and serve in the European or Pacific theaters of war. Although some of my class, who were older than I was, did not survive World War II. I did serve in the U.S. Army for a short time in 1946 and 47 in the Philippines. While in the Philippines, I visited Corregidor and saw the remnants of that savage war. That island was the last stronghold of MacArthur's forces in the Philippines, and the fall was followed by the infamous Bataan Death March. It was horrible. Back home, a little older and wiser, God, through His Word and the Holy Spirit, convicted me anew of my sinful ways and drew me back to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. In retrospect, I am so thankful for His grace that He did not cast me off. What a wonderful Savior. What a caring and loving God. For though I had strayed, the shepherd of my soul saved me from what I was to what I had the potential to become. Churches used to hold revival meetings. And with my new wife at one such revival, I renewed my vow to follow Jesus as he wanted me to when I made that initial confession of faith when I was 13. Since then, I have striven to be the disciple, the learner that I was called to be. The rest of my life, until now, I have striven to follow Jesus as Lord in my life. And I praise him and thank him day by day for having saved me. Saved me from what I could have become to what I did become.
If you've just joined us, we're listening to a presentation by my longtime co-host, Professor Keith Scoville, on how he became an archaeologist.
To continue my story is a long one because I am 80 years old. If I allocated, 4 minutes to each decade, that'd be 40 minutes. You don't have that time, neither do I. I was a truck driver, hauling gravel for roads and crushed lime for farmers' fields. But with the encouragement of my mother-in-law, I enrolled in the Vernon County Normal School. It was a teacher training institution, a 2-year program to train to teach in elementary education. After graduation, I taught in a country school 1 year, all 8 grades, started the fire, took care of all of that, for a salary of $2,250. I then moved to a village school system and taught for 2 years. I then left school teaching and went to work in the Badger Ordnance Works, along with my wife. Since the Korean conflict was winding down, after about a year, I was laid off, and I obtained employment hauling new Chevrolets out of Janesville. I was back truck driving. Then, with the advice and encouragement of an aunt and of her minister here in Madison, my wife and I traveled with our son to Milligan College near Johnson City, Tennessee. Milligan is a small Christian liberal arts college. There I completed my undergraduate education, and with the encouragement of 2 classmates, I took on the ministry of the Buffalo Valley Christian Church. After graduation, I looked for a church closer to Wisconsin because my father had died about a year before, and I felt that I should be closer to my mother in Soldiers Grove. And so that's how I came to Madison. I accepted the call to a 1-year interim ministry at First Christian Church. This was to allow their pastor to fulfill a 1-year residency for his doctorate in guidance and counseling. I came with the agreement that we would attempt to establish another congregation during that year. The result was the beginning of Westwood Christian Church. In order for the new work to begin, I largely supported myself by also teaching in the elementary schools at McFarland. I had studied Greek at Milligan, but I had no knowledge of Hebrew. The Dead Sea Scrolls had been recently discovered. So, desiring to learn Hebrew because the scrolls are mainly in Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, I began its study through correspondence course. Soon, Professor Menachem Mansour, who had established the Department of Hebrew and Semitic Studies here at the UW not too many years earlier, and he was my instructor of the correspondence course, he gave me a call and invited me to come to his office, which I did. There he convinced me to switch to taking the language on campus. My goal was to earn a master's degree so that I could teach in a Bible college. For the good of the new congregation, I resigned so that they could hire a full-time minister. In order to support my family, I purchased from the member of the congregation a carpet and cleaning business. My wife and I bought a house on Manor Cross just off Seagull Road, and we operated the business out of our home. My wife scheduled in-home appointments and rug pickups so as to allow me to keep my class schedule. I sold the business about 3 years later when I received a National Defense Education Act fellowship. I could not be employed under the terms of the grant, which was renewed for 4 years. That allowed me to earn my MA in 1966 and to proceed toward a PhD, which I did complete in 1969. I will skip some details and simply tell you that Dr. Mansour invited me to join the department faculty before my graduation. Our department is focused on texts and literature. However, one of my assigned courses was Hebrew 451, Biblical Archaeology. I realized that to be authentic to my satisfaction, I needed hands-on experience. I had already been to Israel twice on study tours with Mansour, but I returned to Israel then and helped in the excavations at sites called Tel Dan, Aroer, and Lachish in the 1970s and 80s. And 25 years ago, as Gordon mentioned, he and I began the weekly broadcast, and it's pre-recorded 15 minutes long. And you can access it, and he can tell you how. He's actually the driving force behind the Book and the Spade, and it's his program. I just ride along.
In many respects, it is my program, but it would not have lasted now 43 years without the partnership of Professor Keith Scoville. He referred to Professor Menachem Mansour as his mentor. Professor Scoville was my mentor. After my introduction to biblical archaeology volunteering on an excavation at Tel Afek in Israel, it could have ended there. But then, perhaps in a moment of divine inspiration, came an idea of doing a unique radio program on biblical archaeology. I called Professor Scoville. He agreed to try it out. We just kept doing it, and now it's 2,000 programs later. He suggested we offer our listeners the opportunity to visit Israel to see the sites we were talking about, and that led to numerous trips over the years. More unexpected opportunities came my way to edit a newsletter that became Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine, and to report dozens of biblical archaeology news reports for Christianity Today. In Professor Scoville's case, and in my case, in retrospect, it often seems as if an unseen hand has been guiding the way. So I give thanks to God for the blessings I have received through my experiences in archaeology and through the friendship and guidance of Professor Keith Scoville. Professor Scoville was preceded in death just a few weeks earlier by his wife Marilyn, to whom he was married for 76 years. He's survived by 5 children, 8 grandchildren, and 8 great-grandchildren. May God bless their family. I hope this program might encourage you to reflect on those people who have guided you along life's way. In archaeology, we find material remains, things like pottery and coins. But at some point in the past, there were people who used and needed those items, and it's those people who we are really trying to get to know through archaeology. We have more resources on our website at radioscribe.com, such as breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority and information on our biblical archaeology news magazine, Artifacts. That's at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.